Why, God? Why are there weeds along with the wheat? Why in the midst of this world that you made good is there so much suffering and pain? Why in humanity are there people that just make me proud to be a human being and there are people that make me hang my head in shame? Why within my very church are there truly saints but then also very truly scoundrels? Those are some of the prayers that maybe we lift up to God. Some of the questioning and the frustration that we bring before our Lord. And yet, if we're honest, we need to continue and say, Lord, just as I see good and evil out there, I see a lot of good and evil in here. Just as in the world, so in my heart. Why, God? Why can't I be as good as I want to be? Why is there this fight between good and evil that rages not only out there, but also in my heart, in here? And that frustration sometimes leads us to end our prayer right there. Because maybe if we spent 5 minutes in prayer, 4 minutes, 53 seconds was spent complaining about all of the problems, and we spent 1 or 2 seconds saying, oh, and thanks, by the way, that I'm alive. Then we spent a precious 5 seconds giving God a chance to answer. And then we thought, well, you're silent, so I'm just going to give up. And far too often, that's exactly how we do it. Or we spend some time complaining about how bad things are. We ask for a few things. We thank God for a few things. And then when it's about to get real, we leave. And yet our Lord wants a prayer for us, a prayer life where it's a real connection with Him. That we actually get to learn how to understand things, to see things as He does. To be like the servants who ask their master here, hey, should we pull it all up? Should we go out on this vendetta? Kind of get rid of all the wicked people? And he says, well, I mean, you could, but you'd have to get rid of yourself too. But he wants a relationship in prayer to where we can understand his patience, his mercy. We can understand why and how he can let the weeds grow up with the wheat and say, I'll sort it out. All that's going on in the world, I'm going to sort it out. But I want you to focus on whether you are connected to me in prayer, and then whether through that connection, you're like me in the way you treat others. St. Paul gets to this beautifully, this difficulty that we have in prayer of putting into words our frustration and all that's going on when he says, the Spirit comes to the aid of our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with inexpressible groanings. Inexpressible groanings. What better way to put what we want to do just most of the time these days? Just, God, I can't put it into words, but I need you to help me. I need you to help me, first and foremost, to connect to you at a deeper level than I have. Because superficial won't cut it when life gets crazy. And so we need to have a daily habit of prayer that goes beyond just the initial complaint, the asking for a few things, and the giving thanks. We need to have all that. Yes, he wants to know our hearts. But then to ask God, fill me with your Spirit and help me to understand, and then to seek that understanding, whether it be in Scripture or in silence, in holy friendships, in reading the wisdom of the saints. Whatever it may be, we need to expand the time of prayer and actually ask God to fill us with His Spirit. Otherwise, we won't ever get an answer to those why questions. And we'll just stop praying. And then when we stop praying, we're going to become the very people that we say, look at that wicked guy over there. And we'll realize, ooh, that's a mirror. I was just pointing at myself. This is embarrassing. Now, first movement is how we relate to God. Second very important movement is God doesn't want us to just relate to Him in prayer. He wants to turn us into God-like people. And so He says to us through the Book of Wisdom, this is a beautiful prayer to God. It says, though you are master of might, you judge with clemency, and with much lenience you govern us. For power, whenever you will, attends you. What is He saying here, the author of the Wisdom of Solomon? Well, I mean, God is, of course, inspiring these words, but what he's saying is that God shows his power through his mercy. It's only weak people who show their power by putting their fist down and just being real strong and tough and saying, you know what, you will submit to me. That's a great sign of a weak person. A strong person is the one who knows he's powerful, who knows she's powerful, and doesn't have to show that power, but in fact shows it by saying, you know what, I'm going to be patient with you. I'm going to work with you. How can I help you to get better? Instead of saying, you're awful and I give up on you. God shows his power through his mercy, and he wants us to do that same thing. He goes on to say, and you taught your people by these deeds that those who are just must be kind. See, we got justice down pat. Ooh, I want my way. I know that I'm right, and I want you to recognize how right I am. Even if it means I run roughshod all over your heart. Even if it means that in winning this argument, I lost your soul. If you want examples of this, just spend 1 minute on the internet. And yet God wants us to show our power. When we're right, the best way to prove it is to be kind. The best way to prove that you are in fact correct is to be able to be calm. To trust that you know what is just, what is right. And then to patiently bring people to that. And if they don't, if they refuse, instead of getting so angry and frustrated, to turn back to the Lord in that prayer we talked about before, to say, Lord, fill me with your spirit, teach me how to deal with this frustration, because I want to be just, right? I want to fight for what's right, but I also want to be kind, because I know that that's when I am most like you, when I show that mercy that you showed to me, to those in my life who need it just as much as I do.